Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoy this message from The Well.
Born again, you were taken out of the bloodline of sin and transferred into the bloodline of Christ. And now you have the DNA of God in your heart. His DNA is now in you. Jesus has now become your brother. He's not some distant God that you might get to see one day. He's your brother. You're his sister in that. And you are justified. You are forgiven. God has become your father. That is so amazing. He's your father in heaven that loves to see you, loves to spend time with you, and wants to spend time with you right now. And when I say right now, I mean every second of your day. Come here today. Listen to the sermon. You come out of here. You go into the world. You go into work. Right now. He's right now. Always right now. He wants to be your father. He wants to love upon you. He wants to shower his love and blessings and goodness upon you. This is our new identity. Are we living out of that? And you know what? Whatever happens in life, because we live in a fallen world, we will go through struggles. We will go through temptations where Satan will want to shape us to be something we really shouldn't be, where we don't look like Jesus at all, but we don't have to give in to that. But whatever we go through in this life, we know 100% that when we come out of this life, we are going to heaven. It's a done deal. It's a finished work of Christ on the cross, that we are going to go there, that heaven is our home even now. We belong there. We have a place there even now. And nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Not even death. Death becomes a vehicle to get us there. This is our new identity, guys. Are you living out of that? Or are you living out of the fear and the grot that the world would give you? Things that the world would try to make you into today. You see, this is the thing. That if you don't know who you are, you are never going to be truly happy. You're never going to be truly fulfilled in your life. You're never going to be truly successful. It's like playing darts and you're missing the ball all the time. We need to know who we are is a bullseye. Then at least we can go for it. Yeah, I was playing the other day and it was like a bit of a mess, to be honest with you, darts going everywhere. But the bullseye is what it's all about. The bullseye is what it's all about. And so I'm asking you now, listen up, because we're going to look now at five foundations of our new identity in Christ. You ready for that, church? Can I hear an amen for that, church? I was just stalling for a bit of time there. Did it show? That's what preacher I wasn't. Right. Anyway, so first up, we're going to look. This is the thing, okay? The most important thing is to know what God thinks of you. You know that? You can cope with anything. You know, if everyone in your life ships out on you, you can cope with that if God's, you know what God thinks of you. Yeah? But if one person ships out on you, oh, I've got that completely wrong. Yeah, you want to teach me how to do that? I don't mind. Yeah? But the thing is, if you know that God, or you think that God has shipped out on you, you can't cope with anyone else. No shipping out. It's like, it's a wound, it's deep. And so we need to know, what does God think of us? Well, God says this. Okay, let me ask you now. What do you think, how do you think God sees you right now? If I was to ask you that, you would probably, if you know a little bit of theology, you would probably turn around and say, you would turn around and say, well, actually, I'm righteous. Because you know that God sees me as though he sees the only son. I'm like Jesus. Because you know we teach that. But actually, that's on the outside. But actually, on the inside, you're probably thinking, yeah, but actually, God knows that it's pretty grotty in there. And I'm failing miserably sometimes. And I've got this kind of big list that I'm still working on inside, and you know, it's life, okay? So we probably struggle. You might be struggling with anger right now, frustrations right now, anxieties with the COVID issue, lust. You might be struggling with that, porn, gossip, greed, anything like that. Now, the thing is that Jesus told us that we are washed. We are completely clean, and all we have to do is wash the feet. So on the inside, we're absolutely, completely clean, and you just repent of the things of the day and come to God for that. Repentance is actually a gift from God, and we allow the Holy Spirit to wash it away daily. We repent daily, every moment if we need to. It's like we're on that track. But inside, outside, we are completely and utterly righteous. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says this in God's eyes. For our sake, Jesus became sin, even though he never sinned, so that we could become the righteousness of God. And what Jesus is saying is that Jesus took our sin and what we deserve because of our sin, so, which is death, which is all the rest of it, feeling lousy, feeling rotten, and beating ourselves up. He took all that so that we could inherit his righteousness and all that he deserved, which is freedom and eternal life with him. And that is how God sees us daily, every day, even in our worst moment. He sees us like that. He sees us as completely righteous inside, outside. Cut you in half, and what it would say on the inside is the same as the outside. Righteous, just like a stick of rock. Righteous. And it's a gift from God. The truth is this: you cannot be any more righteous than the gift of righteousness that God gave you when you became born again. And so when you wake up in the morning, church, are you drowning in guilt? Are you drowning in shame? You feel, I can't do this anymore. You're downcast, defeated inside. You're at the end. Is that how you wake up? You know, as soon as your eyes open, I know people like that. As soon as the eyes are open, you start beating yourself up. Well, it's not the way. You know, Satan jumps on you and all them thoughts of the worst thing you did the last few days come. Is that how? Is that the identity that you're living out of? Or are you living out of your new identity, your identity that God gave you, that you're born again, you're now in Christ, Christ is in you, and the blood of Christ has washed you clean of any sin, completely and utterly, and he's deleted it from all the evidence towards it. It's gone now. He's erased it from your history, and he's made you completely new on the inside. The old has gone and the new has come. Yeah, if God says that, then you can't go back. I want to live in the old. I want to live in the old. Let it go and start living in this new life that Jesus died on the cross for. And you know why this is so important? It's so important for you to know how forgiven you are. It is finished. Tetelestai means it's completely complete. There's nothing more you can do. You are completely and utterly forgiven every moment, every second, every day of your life. If we live out of that identity, then we can stand in the authority that God gives us to operate in the spiritual gifts, to live in the freedom of victory. Whatever temptations come our way or struggles come our way, we can overcome. Why? Because Jesus said, even if we fail, he says, get up and sin no more. Get up and sin no more. Probably not too many sins worse than adultery, but that woman was caught doing it. She was caught at it. And Jesus said, who condemns you? And like the religious, so if you've got in you right now that's going, Clive's got this one wrong, he should, well, that means there's a bit of religion in you. Yeah, because the religious leaders were said, who condemns her? Cast the first stone. And they couldn't because they knew that they had done similar. And so they walked away. And Jesus said, neither do I condemn you. But he loves us enough not to leave us there, because we can get affected by the things of the world. Desires can rise up if we allow that. We won't go into that too much now. But they will rise up in us. But we'll defeat them when we know we're forgiven. Jesus said, get up and sin no more. Get up and sin no more. Get up and sin no more. So the next time you start beating yourself up, remember them words, get up and sin no more. So much more we could say on that, but so important, so important. Secondly, chosen. Okay, one of the deepest pains in our human heart is when we feel rejected, when we feel that we're not chosen, that we are discarded in life. And, you know, nobody wants me, I'm not good enough. And if you've ever felt that in your life, it's a deep wound, deep, deep within us. And you know what? When I realized a few years ago that I had to walk through with Jesus with this one. I'm mostly through it now. I have days, but I'll tell you what happened. So it's weird, but I was 6 months old and I had a twisted gut. And so as I ate, my food wouldn't go down. And the hospital didn't know what was wrong. It was a few years ago now. And they said he's about a week away from dying. We can't help him. There's nothing that we can do. And all of a sudden, they got a new physician in. And the physician came in. He went, I know what it is. It only happens to boys. I'm going to go in. And basically, he operated on me. And I was able to eat my food. And it was wonderful. Yeah. Although I can't remember it. But I can remember the dreams that came out of it. And I'll tell you why. And that was because I was operated on in Old Church, I think, hospital in Romford. It was about 10 miles away from where we live. And my parents at the time were so broke, they couldn't afford the bus fare to go to see me. And so I was there for about a week, 6 months old, and rejection got in. Rejection got in, and the nightmares that I had for so long afterwards, it was awful, absolutely. I just felt the pain inside, just the loneliness. I could see lights where the lights of the operation I was looking up by, and it was awful. But then Christ came into my life and revealed this to me, and I started to learn verses like Ephesians 1, God chose us in him before the foundation of the world. Guys, the truth is that we were chosen by God. Before he created anything, he knew you. Before he created anything, he made you. He knew you. Every part of you doesn't want you to be anything else. You were chosen by God. Who cares about anyone else? If God chose you, if God accepts you, man, that is food for the soul. And what happened is that I started to walk with God and with Jesus and learn some new verses there that I fed myself in truth. And all of a sudden, I realized that I wasn't in that fear of rejection anymore. Every now and again, I'll get a little moment where I feel that. But I'm able now to just cast it aside because I know that God loves me. That's foundational. And so, as I'm looking out today, as you are listening online today, it's like, have you been rejected like that? Have you got a moment that comes to mind where it's just painful? You still feel that pain in you. My advice is learn the truth of God, that you're chosen in him, loved by his family forever, and allow Jesus to walk you out of that pit, because that's what Jesus does. He heals broken hearts like. Amen. Can I hear an amen to that? We'll pray at the end, guys. And so thirdly, that you're loved. This is your new identity. Chosen, now loved. You're loved. And Jesus tells the story of the prodigal son, where the prodigal son, again, he gets caught up in the culture of the day. And he wants what his eyes can see. He doesn't want to work for his dad. He just wants money for nothing. And he goes to his dad and he says, look, I want my inheritance. Yeah, that in the time was bad because he was basically saying in Jewish culture there, Dad, I wish you was dead. And it would have caused real embarrassment and dishonor to him. His dad wouldn't have been able to hang his head high as he walked around after that. And yet the son wanted his money, wanted it, and he got it. The father was a good father. He said, okay, you've got to go and learn your own lessons. Off you go. And the son made a real mess of his life. And ended up eating pig's will, pig food, and realized at the end of it I've made such a mess that I'm no longer worthy of being called a son of God. You ever been there? You ever done something where you feel, I really would love to feel that God loves me, but he knows that I'm just blank? Well, God loves you. You need to go and embrace him. Do not run and hide. Go and embrace him. As we see what the son did, he started to go back. He went back to the father and thought, surely it's going to be better in my father's house than this. I've got to go back. And the amazing thing was that while the son was far off, the father saw him, which tells us something. The father was aching for his son to come back, just as the father is aching for each one of us to come back when we trot off and do our own thing. And we know we're doing things that Jesus would go, what are you doing? He's waiting for us to come back. And as he sees the son coming back, he pulled up his skirt, because apparently that's what they wore in them days, and he ran as fast as he can. And he got hold of his son and hugged him. Now, Jewish men never ran in them days, so he dishonored himself again. Why? Because he wanted more, that his son would know how much he loved him. And he kissed him and he hugged him and he took him home and he honored him and he gave a ring and a robe. He honored him fully and he had a massive party for him. And did you know that's how much God loves us? This is your new identity, guys. Jeremiah 31:3 says this, that I have loved you with an everlasting love. So religion would bash people with what's wrong. Grace says, no, you love people. You love them. And as we love, as we're loved like that, it draws the Christ out in me. As I love you like that, it draws the Christ out in you. As we love our children the way that God loved his child, it draws the Christ out in them. We don't give them what they deserve. We give them what they don't deserve. Love. And so we need these encounters with God like that. Again, the Father came back in like that. Paul was knocked off his horse. We need them. Paul says to us, there is so much more in this year of more that we're living. There is more for each one of us. But let me ask you the question, is how deep do you want to go with your Father? How deep? Let me just pray for you now. Just feel there's a moment where we just want each heart to feel love today. If you get nothing else from me, just want you to feel that love, because God is love. He is our Father. Lord, I thank you that we are accepted and loved and we're righteous because of you. Yes, we clean our feet, but actually righteous through and through, because it's a gift. Oh, Lord, let your love flow, Lord, in a loveless world, in a heartless world. God, come into our heart. Spirit of God, come into our hearts right now. Right now. Let him in. Let him in. You know, there's someone here that you're really resistant to it. It's almost like a prideful thing, and where it's like, yeah, but I want to do this, I want to do that, and I can't receive this because I love doing that. When I get out of here, I know I'm going to do something. And God is saying, look, just allow me to love you. See, right now, if I was to name that and condemn you like a religious guy, you did this, you did this, you did this. You know what you do? You go and do it even more. But you can't go there because your new identity says you're forgiven. What now? Yes, already. Yes, already. Even if you decide to go and do it again, you're forgiven, forgiven, forgiven. It's a finished work of the cross. And love. And love. And love. And when we wake up to that, we have then got the strength to say, you know what? I'm not going there anymore. My God loves me. And someone has just let the love of God in their heart for the first time, right? Right there. You are loved. You are loved. And last, but well, you are priceless. Did you know that? Number four, you are priceless. Deuteronomy 7:6 says this, he has chosen you to be a people of his own treasured possession. And now the truth is this, that something is only worth what it's worth, what someone will pay for it. Okay. And that's it. It doesn't matter whether it's a car, whether it's a house, whatever it is, you only pay what it's worth. Now, When I went out to start my own first business, I had not a lot of money, I can tell you now. And one of my good friends lent me or sold me a truck. I think it was Chrissy Walker's old man. Tony probably knows him. And he gave me, Tony, do you remember he's on the screen there? You can't. But he gave me that yellow truck that had red spots all over it where they were working on the rust. And it was all over. I had it for about a year. And people used to laugh at me driving about in it. And it was so embarrassing. It was a proper old banger. And when it come to selling it, I couldn't sell it. I had to pay someone to come and take the thing away. Now, is that how you see yourself? Is it? Being honest with me right now? Because God doesn't see you like that. He sees you as a Rolls Royce, as a Lamborghini, the latest model, and that you're so valuable, he gave the highest price in the whole universe for you. He gave his only son. His son suffered just for you, so that you could be forgiven and set free. You are infinitely valuable this morning. And lastly, you are totally able, this is your new identity, to become all that God created you to be, to do whatever God calls you to do. It's time to stop believing you're no good, church. It's time to stop putting yourself down, that you're a lost cause, that God can't do much with you. Yes, he can. Look at Paul, was well away from God. And God said, yeah, you'll do. Come to me. Look at me. Call me. I was in the gutter. It was horrible. God said, now you come to me. He will do that with you. It's time, church, to start believing what the Bible says about you, what God says about you. And he says this in Galatians 2:20. Look, that you have been crucified with Christ and you no longer live, but Christ lives in you. Listen to what it says. Okay, the day you accepted Jesus and met the living God, you were crucified with Christ on the cross. Your old nature was crucified dead. Dead means dead. Okay, it's as simple as that. Dead means dead. Secondly, that Christ now lives in you, and that you were raised to new life with Christ. This is the truth. And the point is this, that you will never live to the fullness of the life that God has called you to live while you're still trying to kill the old nature. It's wrong teaching. You are dead. If your old nature is dead, it's dead. Wash the feet daily, yes. But the old nature is dead. And now you're alive in Christ. Christ lives in you. The resurrected Christ, his power, his person, he lives in you, and you are to step into your new life. This is your new identity. You are in Christ. Christ is in you. You're in the Father. The Father's in you. The Spirit is in you right now. Step into your new life, church. And there is nothing that you cannot do now. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Oh, God, if we could just really receive this in our hearts today, if we could just receive this message and really become the people that God created us to be, that's what he wants, church. And I'll finish with this. Saul encountered Jesus and he received this new identity and he became a completely different person. Peter received this and he became a completely different person. The disciples received this and they became bold, and now 2 million people around the world worship the risen Lord Jesus. The saints from history of the church now have received this new identity and will confirm that this is true. I am a different person. I am new now. The old definitely has gone and I'm living the new life. I'm living in the fullness, and that's what God is calling us today. So practically, can I ask you to stand, those are here, stand at home. We just want to minister over you at the minute before we end. And so practically, every day when you wake up, please stop beating yourself up. Satan will do that himself. He doesn't need you helping him. Guys, remember that you are righteous on the outside and the inside, right the way through. That's how God sees you. Second, that you are chosen by God. You were chosen from the beginning of time before he created anything. He didn't get it wrong. He loves you as you are, cares for you as you are, got an amazing future just for you. And he loves you. He loves you. Paid the highest price just for you. Jesus died on the cross for you. Gave it just for you. He was the last person in the world. Christ would be on the cross for you. And you are priceless, church. Priceless. Oh, and then you're able. You are able to do all that God created you to do and be, with a new life, a new power, a new freedom, a new life of victory. Come on. An overcoming life where you're powerful and there's nothing in this world that can overcome your peace with God, your love with God, your future with God, Christ in you, the power of God in you, the Holy Spirit in you, Father there always for you. What do you want? Do you want to lie in the mud? Do you want to lie in the muck? Do you want to beat yourself up forever? Or do you want to trust your God, the risen God who's met you, has met you in Christ? There's your choice, church. There's your choice. I'm going to finish with a picture that God gave me yesterday as I was looking at this stuff. It is the picture. It's that there are people that are walking along. I just saw you walking along in a farmyard like this, eyes down. You're looking at the floor and you can see the muck and the horse manure and the mud and the mire. And that's what you think it is. Someone talks to you, it's always dum 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 dum. Yeah, dum 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 dum. Is that where you are? Always looking down, always looking. God said, look, it's time to look up. Look up. It might take a while of walking with Jesus, but it's time to look up. See the trees. See the birds in the trees. See the hills. See the flowers, see the beauty, see the sun, sky, see the clouds, the speakers of Jesus. Time to look up. There's the old life. There's the old nature. What do you want? The new life? Come on, that's what Jesus died for. Lord, I pray, come and fill us with your love today. Fill us with that vision of our future. Heads lifted high. Walking, nothing can overcome. No one can make us feel bad anymore because we know we're loved and accepted and cared by you like that. Oh, God. Oh, Lord. Oh, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Guys, Jesus loved you. This is like a whole bag of grace today. And it's just that realizing, can God really love me that much? Yeah. Yeah. When the gospel's preached like that, religious people go, ooh. Well, you need to realize you're dead to sin now. The law has, you're not imprisoned anymore. You're released. You're free in Christ. Yeah. I will get another picture because somebody needs that today. That I saw is that you're still discounting yourself. Right now, but there's a picture that comes in John 10, okay, where it shows you that you are in the palm of the Father's hand, and just below that, I think it's John 10 28, you're in Jesus' hand, okay, and you're screaming about it, and you're struggling, and you're disagreeing, but this is true, okay, you're in the arms of the Father, and I just see you there screaming, crying, fighting. Because of all that's happened to you, because of all the things that have gone on in your life. And the Lord will say to you, I'm just going to leave you in my hand. Cry as much as you like. Scream as much as you like. Get it out. Get it out. You just stay there until you realize it's all gone. And then I see you standing up and you look up and you see your Father looking into your eyes right now. And you feel the love. And you feel the love. Feel that love right now. You feel that love right now. You know what the Father would say? When you get to that point, you're going to say, now I want you to go and help. We've been through. That's our love. That's the gospel, guys. That's the gospel. If you don't know Jesus in your heart, just ask him. Forgive your sin. Thank him for dying on the cross for you. Just ask him in your life. I want to live it your way, God. Simple as that. Mean it in your heart. Believe. You believe in your heart that Jesus rose again, and confess that with your mouth, you will be saved. Go and tell someone, I believe in Jesus.